If you or someone you love has diabetes, you'll be blessed by our YouTube channel called Beat Diabetes. Benedict and I conduct blood sugar tests on ourselves. I interview guests that have seen dramatic victory over diabetes. I share reviews of books and documentaries about lowering blood sugar. And I give talks about the keys to getting your A1C down in a hurry. I'm convinced that by God's grace, you can find victory in your struggle with diabetes. Go to YouTube and in their search engine, type in the words Beat Diabetes, Dennis Pollack. We're going to be looking at Matthew 24 and 25, although we're just going to handpick three different verses primarily to talk about that are all similar. They're all based on the word therefore. Therefore, of course, means based on what I've been just telling you. Therefore, such and such. Matthew 24 and 25 are unique. They are a sermon by Jesus. It has been called the Olivet Discourse. Olivet means having to do with the Mount of Olives, or you could call it the Mount of Olives Discourse. Mm-hmm. And it starts with Jesus and his disciples on the Mount of Olives. It says in chapter 24, verse 3, he sat on the Mount of Olives. The disciples said, well, when are these things going to be? Because he's been talking about his return. Mm. And he's just told them, not one stone should be left upon another. Everything's going to be thrown down. In other words, the last days are going to come and the temple's going to be destroyed and a lot of stuff's going to happen. So they're going to be like, well, all right, when? When will this happen? When will you come back? Mm. He's been telling them, I'm coming. So this wasn't a surprise. Now, if he's going to come back, that means he must have left. So yeah. They understood that. They got it. At this point, however, when he dies, they don't get that very well. Mm. And they're all confused and scared and nervous and depressed and just kind of hanging out wondering what's next. So even though he had told them and told them and told them, mm. I'm going to die, I'm going to be raised from the dead, and then I'm going to go away, and then I'm going to come back. He had pretty much spilled the whole story to them. Mm. They didn't really get it. But at this point, they're like, okay, well, when will all this happen? And that's when he starts in on this long sermon. And you mentioned when we turned to when we were looking at these two chapters, how it's reddish. It's all in red. Well, if your Bible gives the words of Jesus in red, then of course it will all be almost all in red because this is Jesus speaking. Mm. And there's really only two long sermons by Jesus in the Bible. There's a lot of his words, of course, but in terms of sermons, long talks that he has, there's only two really long ones. One is, of course, the famous Sermon on the Mount, and the other is this one, what we call the Olivet Discourse, where he talks about the last days. This whole 24 and 25 of Matthew is all about the last days and how bad it's going to be. He talks about the tribulation of those days. He says it's going to be worse than ever, any tribulation ever has been before. And we're not going to get into all that, but we're going to look at some of the therefores. So again, when he says therefore, he's saying based on this last days concept that I'm telling you about, based on the fact things are going to get really bad and the end of the world as we now know it is going to come, not the end of the world period, but the end of the world as it now exists. Mm. And he says, therefore, and then he gives some instructions, and that's what we're going to look at today briefly. Mm-hmm. The first therefore is in verse 42, and he says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. Mm. So watch means be looking for me. Mm. Therefore, you know, based on the fact that I've told you about all this terrible times in the last days and the fact that I'm going to, in the midst of it all, I'm going to come back. He says, watch therefore, you don't know when your Lord is coming. Now, that's always been true, and it's always been relevant. A lot of people say, well, yeah, but that's been 2,000 years ago. So how is it even, what in the world is he talking about? Watch, what about all these years in between? He hasn't come. So what's the point of watching? And we're going to get into that. But notice that it's always right for Christians to look for the return of Jesus. But in order to look for that return, You got to believe in that return, don't you?
Yes, I believe in the return, and we're looking forward for the return of Jesus. And as at the time he was talking to the disciples, he was still with them. And he's like, I'm going to come back. And then he, you know, according to the Bible and the studies and everything that happened, Jesus had gone, you know, since 2000 years ago, and we're still waiting for his return. So if he said he's going to come back, he's going to come back.
That's right. And he tells us that our response to this understanding, remember that essentially, every doctrine in the New Testament, there's a reason for that, for us to understand that. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things we don't know because God hasn't revealed them to us. But the things God has revealed to us, the various teachings and instructions of the New Testament through Jesus and Paul and all the others, they must have relevance. God doesn't speak for nothing. Mm. God doesn't give us understanding for no reason. So if God has so much to say about the return of Jesus, and Jesus had so much to say about his own return, there must be a reason. It must be good for us.
Yes.
If mama told you to eat your spinach when you were a child, she wasn't saying that because she hated you or because spinach was meaningless. Mm. She was saying that because she was convinced spinach was good for you,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when Jesus tells us, I'm going to come back and I want you to watch implying, I want you to think about that fact. You can't watch for the return of Jesus if you never think about it or if you never believe it. So what he's saying is, I want you to believe it, I want you to think about it, and I want you to be looking for me. Now let's go on to another therefore, which is just two verses down the road from this verse. We've just looked at Matthew 24:42. Now we're going to skip down to Matthew 24:44. Here's another therefore. He says, therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, before he says, you don't know what hour the Lord, your Lord is coming. Now he says, I'm coming when you don't expect me to.
Gee.
And I want you to be ready. So here again is why we should think about and believe in the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are instructed, you might say we are commanded to watch and be ready. And he not only tells us what to do, but he tells us why to do it. So what do? Well, you watch, you look for him, mm-hmm. You're aware of his coming, and you make yourself ready. So that's what you do. Why do you do it? Well, he says, you just don't know when the Son of Man will be coming. In this case, verse 44, he says, the Son of Man will come at an hour you do not expect. Mm. So you're just kind of carrying on your life, and you're just thinking, tomorrow I'll get up and do the same thing as today. I'll have breakfast, I'll go to work, and I'll come home, and I'll watch some TV, and I'll go to bed, and then the next day I'll do the same. He's like, no, there'll come a point where all that will change, and you need to be ready every day for my coming. What do you think?
I think Jesus kind of gave us the hint how this is going to play out.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what I mean by that is like he gave us the, you know, the whole thing in one sentence or two, like be watchful, be ready.
Yeah.
You know, like the Israelites in those days, eat with all your breastplates, your buckles and everything, you know, ready to go. And he's like, you don't know when I'm coming. I may come tonight.
Yeah.
You don't know when I'm coming. I may come tomorrow.
Right.
And, you know, it may be in the next 10 years. It may be in the next 20 years. But from now that you are still living and breathing, be ready at all time, because we do not know the hour or the day or night when he's going to show up.
Yeah.
And if you're not ready, you know, that is like, if you're not ready, you're not going with him. That is what he's saying.
Well, when I read these verses and think about what Jesus says and the fact that he's coming and it's going to be a surprise, it's going to be at a time we don't expect. He says, you just don't know what hour I'm coming. I think about the Passover. When the original Passover, The very first Passover Israel celebrated was when they were in Israel and they were about to leave Egypt. And Moses gave very strict instructions. God gave them to Moses to tell the Israelites, here's how you eat the Passover.
Mm.
He says, you have your belt around your waist. You have your sandals on. You have your staff in your hand. Well, that's exactly how you would not have a meal normally, right?
No.
You don't eat with a staff in the hand. It kind of interferes with your meal.
Yeah.
You don't eat with your sandals. In other words, normally you come home, you take your sandals off, maybe put on some slippers if they had any in those days. You just relax, right?
Be comfortable and eat your meal.
Yeah, be comfortable and eat your meal. That's how they did it then. That's how we do it today. I mean, if you come home from work, which very few people dress up for work anymore, but if you did, let's say you're wearing a suit and a tie and you've got your dress shoes on and all that, you don't eat your meal like that. You take off your suit, you take off your tie, you put on some more casual clothes, you take off your shoes, put on some slippers perhaps, and then you have your meal with your wife and family. So God is basically saying, don't take off your tie, don't take off your suit, don't take off your shoes. I want you to be ready at any time because the word's going to go out and we're all going to leave this place. Israel was being told by God, you eat being perfectly ready to leave because you're going to get the word tonight. And they went out in the middle of the night. They did not go out the next morning.
Benedict and I represent a ministry called Spirit of Grace Ministries. We sponsor African missions in Nigeria and Kenya, where we provide free medical clinics, food for widows and orphans, and conduct evangelistic ministry, lifting up Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. We also create Bible teaching videos and audio recordings like this one, because we believe that the Word of God changes lives. We would appreciate your support. If you'd like to help us reach out to the nations of the world, go to our website, spiritofgrace.org, and click on the donation button on the left sidebar. Once again, our website is www.spiritofgrace.org.
The word went out. You remember how all the firstborn of the Egyptians were killed, and Pharaoh's like, get these Israelites out of this country, and word spread like wildfire, we're leaving right now.
Yeah.
So when I think about Jesus talking about the return of himself, his return, I think about that and how they were supposed to eat that meal totally ready to leave. Jesus seems to be saying, I want you to live that way, not just eat a meal that way. I want you to live completely prepared to leave this place because one of these days it will happen. Now, he's talking about his return, but he could also be talking about the fact that when we die, often it will be unexpected. We weren't prepared for that often, but we should be prepared. We should be prepared to leave this world, whether it's through the rapture of the church, and that's what Jesus is talking about here. I'm going to come when you don't expect. I'm going to come at an hour nobody knows. So you better watch. You better be ready. You better be looking out for this. Or when you die, it's the equivalent. Let's look at one more, therefore. And
yeah,
then
before we look through one more thing. I just wanted to say what, you know, the Spirit was like giving me this right now. And it's like when soldiers are in the field.
Yeah.
Or in the camp. And like you described, you know, those soldiers were told, hold your sword, you know, buckle up, get ready. It's like, we gotta go right now.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, when soldiers are in the camp, what do? They keep training. You know, they train themselves day and night, keeping themselves, you know, in shape, and they're keeping themselves well equipped and keeping themselves, keeping their, you know, weapons where they can easily grab and run, when it is like, we gotta go. So, and by the time it's like, okay, you're like, you know, this, sergeant was like, come on, come on, come on, come on, we gotta go. Go, 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 go. And you see, when it is time to go, 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 is not a time for you to be like, please train me. I gotta go with you.
Yeah.
You know, can you just train me? How does this work? You know, train me. I wanna go with you. I'm not trained. I'm not ready. I'm not equipped. You know, that time is not the time to get trained or be like, when Jesus comes, it's like, when that trumpet sounds, it's like, it's time to go. It's like, the Bible was describing that it's going to be like, you know, when You watch thunder strike from the east, boom, it's going to the west. It's like a kind of yam. It's done. So that is, there's not going to be any time we'll be like, I just want to be a Christian now. Can, you know, any pastor, you know, lead me to Christ? Is there any evangelist around? Please lead me to Christ. I just want to be, you know, one of you. I want to be a Christian now. That is, there is not going to be any time to train you. There's not going to be any time to, you know, pray with you. And it's like Jesus was like letting us know now, is, you know, you have to come to Christ. You have to be ready. You have to be equipped. You have to be trained. And you have to be ready. And I was like, okay, having a question, like, how can one be ready?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. And in fact, it has to do with this next verse we want to look at.
Okay.
Because the verse that we're going to look at is another therefore.
Oh.
It's found in 25:13. Watch therefore, you know neither the hour nor the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. But if you look at what goes on before he says that in chapter 25, it's the story about the 10 virgins that are going to participate in the wedding.
Now.
And five are wise and five are foolish. So the wise, they take extra oil. So their lamp does, when it starts to go out, they can add extra oil and keep their lamp burning, but the others don't. And their lamp goes out and they're going off looking for some more oil. And suddenly the wedding party happens and they're left out and they try to knock on the door and it's too late. So he's making that exact point, what you're describing. You've got to be ready. You've got to have oil in your lamp. And that's when he gives this verse 13, chapter 25, 13. Watch therefore, you know neither the day nor the hour. Now, before he says you don't know what hour your Lord is coming. Now he says you don't know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So in other words, you better watch at all times. And you're right. I think ultimately this is a warning to people. You better be saved because you don't know when you're going to leave this world. It could be the rapture. It could be your own death. One way or the other, you don't know. You know, I did a Devo the other day that actually showed up on YouTube today about sports and how that the buzzer will sound in basketball or in soccer, which is your favorite sport. Suddenly the time runs out and they know when that game is going to be over. In basketball, all you have to do is look up at the clock. You know, it's like 1 minute and 12 seconds, minute and 11 seconds. You can watch the clock count down. Of course, they're busy playing basketball, so they can't do much, but they can take a quick look at the clock and say, okay, we got this much time. And the same with soccer. But in life, we don't know. There's no clock we can look at and say, well, I've got this much time. Now, there's a general idea. When you get into your 70s, you know, you're a whole lot closer than when you were 22. But young 20-something-year-olds can die as well, be in a car accident or suddenly get killed by a mugger or they can get cancer or whatever. So there is no clock for us to look at. And Jesus seems to be saying you should always be ready. And how do you get ready? You get accepted by God through putting your faith in Jesus Christ, believing that Jesus Christ came, lived, died, rose again. And receiving him, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. So you receive Jesus, you put your faith in Jesus, the Spirit of God comes in you, and then you just abide in Jesus the rest of your life. You're ready.
Right.
You're ready right then and there.
Praise
and
God.
If it comes today, you're ready. If it's 20 years from now, you're ready. If you're going to live to be 112, you'll still be ready, and you've been ready. So from the moment you get born again and you start abiding in Christ and you don't back off, then you are ready. And that's what Jesus is saying. I mean, he's not really talking about the idea of a literal wedding. He's talking about being spiritually ready to exit this earth.
That's it.
And the way we do it is through putting our faith in Jesus and then abiding in him thereafter. Any final words as we wrap this up?
Yeah, the final word is like when you started, you said that this statement was, you know, in chapter 25 of Matthew 13, this statement, you know, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. So this statement was made right, you know, if you look at the beginning, is about the, you know, foolish virgin and the wise virgin. It's like,
right.
The foolish ones let their oil run out. They didn't get extra oil to keep them going. They were, you know, maybe a little unconcerned about what they were doing and how they were doing, how they were running their race and how, you know, the things they need to run the race. You know, some of them were running out. Their oil were running out and they didn't go get more oil before.
They took it too casually. They were not worried about it. They weren't concerned about it. It's like, well, if it runs out, it runs out.
Mm.
The others were like, no, we got to prepare.
Yeah.
Because it could run out. It could well run out.
Get
we know
equipped.
These, if you've seen an Israeli oil lamp, they don't hold much oil and they can last for 2-3 hours. But after a bit, they're going to run out. You're going to have to add more oil. We've got some of those around our house.
Yeah.
So you got to take life seriously.
Mm.
And you can't just, some people say, well, okay, I'm living for myself right now. But when I get to be old, then I'll probably give my life to Jesus so I can be sure and go to heaven. But for right now, I want to have my fun. Well, that's just dumb. Number one, you may not make it there.
Yeah.
Number two, often your heart will get harder the older you get. So you will be far less likely to get saved when you're 70 than you were when you were 18. So you can't take it for granted. You say, well, maybe one of these days I'll do God a favor and give my life to Jesus. No, you better be ready right now.